Revelation 8. We're going to jump in the last verse of the chapter, verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets, trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the pit, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Let's pray right there. Father, we're praying this morning to lost among us. You'd illumine their mind. Your Holy Spirit convict them of their sin before you and convince them of their need of a Savior. Lord, that this morning you might give them the spirit of repentance and they might call on you in faith to be born again. We're praying, God, that the lost be saved. We're praying for the saved this morning that we'd be stirred up. We'd be reminded of these eternal truths. We'd recognize the urgency of the hour. And Lord, not only would we give for faith promise, and certainly that's the point of the meeting, but at the same time, we'll be burdened to go tell their neighbor across the street and talk to our children in our living room. And Lord, you're coming back, and it's coming soon. And I pray, Lord, today that you would use this thy word to do your work in our hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title this morning is called The Bad Boys from Hell. The Bad Boys from Hell. How many's ever wished you could have known the future? Only two of us? How many, if you'd known the future, would have made a different decision today if you knew it was going to work out like that? So had you known the future, you'd made a different decision today. I certainly would. Well, pretend with me, these young people up here, I appreciate the young people being in the church. I like the young people being in the church. Good job, man. So here we have a pair of glasses. So pretend with me that these glasses can see into the future. There's a little pretend knob back here. You can set what date you'd like to see. You can set that date and you can put them on and woohoo! And you can see the future. Wouldn't that be cool? Amen. What would you want to see? No, we're not talking about the lottery. We're talking about what would you like to see. Well, you and I realize that is just for pretend, because such a pair of glasses simply does not exist. Even Google can't do that. Amen. However, I do have a book that is inspired of God, and 25% of this book contains prophecy. God is the only one who knows the future. And He's chosen to give us a glimpse of that future in His eternal book that He has preserved for us here today in the King James Bible. Amen. Now, here's a little hobby horse. I've been trying to avoid him all week, but I'm going to have to ride this guy for a little while. It's the book of Revelation, not Revelations with an S. There's only one revelation. There's only one Savior. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I realize people say there's a revelation of John. I get that, but it's not of John. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the exposing of who He is. And you and I would have no idea unless God chose to reveal Himself to us like He has through His Word. Well, amen. So God is the only one that knows this future. And we're going to take a look into the future of a lost man this morning. Before we do that, I'd like to ask three questions. Question uno, are you saved? Question dos, are the family members in your family saved? And number three, what are you going to do about it if they're not? Amen? So join me as we look into this eternal Word, into the future of a lost man. And there are many, many, many scenes that's been recorded for us. But we're only going to take a look at one of those many scenes this morning. So our first thought this morning, we're going to start it right here in chapter 8. It's the angel's warning. That's number one, the angel's warning. Let me read it again here for you. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." The last part of the fourth angel sounding is this angel flying through the midst of heaven, and he's saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." And he's not talking about, "Whoa, horsey," wrong whoa. He's talking about woe as far as hardship, pain, misery. Okay? However, if you're lost this morning, "Whoa, horsey," okay? Stop right now, said Brother Hibbert. "I need to get saved." And preacher, get somebody and step out there in the foyer for a moment, and you can get it taken care of and come back on in and join the rest of us. You say, "Why do you say and do it now?" But the rapture may happen before we're done. You say, "Why are you going to preach that long?" No, it could be that fast. That's why I'm saying. So if you're lost, please let us know. We'll stop right here. We'll be glad to do so. Amen. See, Baptists are known down through time and our heritage. By the way, rather than Baptist history, I like calling it Baptist heritage. Because see, history is history, but heritage belongs to us. Your heritage belongs to you. It's who you are. So when I say Baptist heritage, hey, that belongs to us. And how we've been known down through the ages, we've been known as men and women of the book. Amen. And because we believe the Bible, that's what makes us Baptists. Okay? Because we try to practice what the Bible says. Amen. Because of that, we are known as Biblicists, those who practice the Bible. Because we are those who practice the Bible, here's a big 35-cent word, that makes us dispensationalists. Now, a dispensationalist, don't get it confused with the folks out there that are hyper-dispensationalists, because we're not hyper-dispensationalists, and I'm not being mean, but just for way of definition, those folks have it wrong because they believe, the hyper-dispensationalists, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not for this dispensation of which we're in. What? Yes, they are. Somebody tell me, John 3:16, what, that don't apply for today? Come on. And they also get confused because they think that there's a different way to get saved in each one of the dispensations. And we know that that's wrong. The Bible says there's only one way to get saved. His name's Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, even Abraham, when he got born again by having faith in Jesus, just like we do. And anybody's going to be born in the future, if they're going to heaven, they're going to get born again by the same person, Jesus Christ. It's the same all the way through. Amen. It's way back in the beginning when God said, let there be light. And He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul, began these dispensations. It's called the dispensation of innocence. There's no sin at this point. And He created Eve, Adam and Eve. It wasn't Steve, by the way, but anyway. So you have Adam and Eve. And when Eve was beguiled, she was tricked of the devil. But Adam knew full well what he was doing when he ate of the tree that God forbade him not to eat of. And when he did, he plunged the entire human race into sin and ended the age of innocence and began the age of conscience. The conscience period of time was where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And God said in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So God sent a universal flood. He said, what do you mean by universal? That means it didn't just flood down here in Macon, Georgia, or up in Indianapolis, Indiana. It flooded the whole earth. And it was a judgment against the sinners of that day. And that's what God did. It was a global judgment. The next time, there's going to be a fervent heat that'll melt the very elements in which we live. So they're all talking about this climate change and global warming. One day there's going to be a global warming bubble. You better make ready for it. But it's not all this political propaganda, that's for sure. But anyway, when that was over, God instituted human government. He gave man the responsibility to hold man accountable to follow God's word. In other words, thou shalt not kill. If you kill, God said, then your life is to be taken as well. And He gave that responsibility as human government. He started that. I'm not anti-government. Folks, I am for government. In fact, I believe that anarchy would be worse than what the government we have today, if you think that would be possible. But what I am against is tyranny. And any time the U.S. government steps outside the founding document of our country, it's called the U.S. Constitution, and they take powers that are not theirs, they step into tyranny, that I'm against. However, we get on down through time, and there's a patriarchal period where you have Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 sons, I mean the Hebrew boys, amen? That was the patriarchs, the Jews, God's chosen people. And the patriarchal mindset was that the men are to lead the homes. That part has not changed. God still has an order for the home. And that's the husband's to lead the home. Whether he does or not, he's supposed to. Whether he does or not, he's going to give an account for it before God one day. So you better step up to the plate, man. Amen. You get on down through time a little more, and you run into a man named Moses. And he went up Mount Sinai, and God gave him the law. Some people think it was the 10 suggestions how they live today, but it was the 10 commandments. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt and thou shalt not. Amen. Well, in the time of the law, you have the prophets like Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah. And you find in different prophecies through there, and God in His wisdom gave Daniel a dream one time. And he showed him about these weeks, and there actually were 70 of these weeks, and 69 of those weeks have been completed. And at the end of the 69th week, the prophecy was that Jesus Christ would be cut off. Folks, we just celebrated that about a week ago, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And then He was buried, and hallelujah, He rose again. Well, when that 69th week was fulfilled in the prophecy of Daniel, God put his finger on the pause button in this timetable and instituted a parenthesis in which you and I live in today. That's called the church age, or the age of grace, or the time of the Gentiles, which is what the Bible calls it. And this age ends with the rapture. But the tribulation does not start with the rapture. The tribulation starts with the signing of the covenant between the Antichrist and Israel. Guess how long? 7 years. That's the 70th week of Daniel. Everybody with me? And I'm laying this foundation so you get in your mind where we're at in Revelation 9 when we come back to it in just a moment. But I'm doing this on purpose to try to help us get a handle on this. So at the end of the tribulation, folks, that's called the second coming of Christ, not the rapture. The rapture happens before the tribulation. I don't have time this morning to give the hundreds of verses that prove that. It's there. We can talk later, okay? But listen, and then how many's ever heard the verses like, well, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Anybody heard that one? Okay, six of us. Good. And what? Think about it. They were given a marriage, and in other words, they're going about life like normal. They didn't even realize judgment was coming until Noah went in the boat, and a week later when it happened, and they just were unaware. It wasn't that they weren't being preached to. They just weren't listening. That sounds like our day, doesn't it? And back in Noah's day, back over here, when God sent the flood, who was taken from the earth? Who perished off the earth? The saved or the unsaved? The unsaved, the wicked, they all died. It was in their judgment. Who was left on planet earth was the saved, Noah and his family, those eight souls. Amen. So if we go back long enough, we're all a bunch of cousins. Hey, cuz. Amen. All right, anyway. So over here at the end of the tribulation, at the second coming of Christ, when it comes, he's going to have a judgment when King Jesus comes back riding a big white horse. Amen. He's going to land on the Mount Olivet. And when he gets off and his foot touches that mountain, there's going to be a great earthquake. And there's going to be a battle assembled together, the conglomeration called the Battle of Armageddon. And Jesus is going to speak with his mouth the Word of God. And the folks will be slain, their eyes will melt out of their sockets. And anyway, blood is going to flow for about, I think it was a couple of miles wide by 200 miles long area, as deep as a horse's bridle. So Jesus isn't coming back to take sides. He's coming back to take over. Amen. And we get to come with Him. Hallelujah. And then I think I figured out, preacher, I can't remember, maybe you can help me, it's either 60 or 80 days of transitional time there, what I've figured out, to where we actually have an inauguration service for King Jesus, and He'll be installed as the King that will sit literally on the throne of David in Jerusalem in the temple that will be rebuilt. And there He'll reign for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. We know that as the kingdom age. Well, praise the Lord. Well, folks, there was a quick flyover of about 26 weeks worth of Sunday school. Well, I hear a lot of people saying today, signs of the times. I hear a lot of people saying today, Jesus is coming. I agree that He's coming. But folks, if you're looking at the signs of the times, you violate a doctrine of the New Testament. It's called the imminent return of Christ. Okay? So there can't be any signs that have to happen before Jesus comes back, or it couldn't be an imminent return. So what are these signs lining up that everybody's talking about? Well, Brother Matthew gives us a little glimpse of that in Matthew 24. He says in verse number 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Well, we've seen that go on. In fact, there's a guy over there in Israel right now proclaiming that he's the Messiah. I forget his name. I can't really pronounce it. Verse number 6 says, and you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Anybody heard anything about wars lately? You hear anything about this thing in Ukraine? Isn't it kind of interesting how that China's toying with Taiwan, keep flying in their airspace, just kind of taunting? Isn't it kind of interesting? Old Rocket Man down there in Korea flexing his muscles again. You know what that is? Those are wars and rumors of wars. Amen. The verse goes on to say, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. It's interesting. I've seen in the news 3 times this past week where there's been 20 big-time manufactured distribution places of food that's been burnt to the ground. I think that's an accident. So it says famine. Well, it could even be a self-created one. Don't you think something might be going on? Well, folks, the Bible does say famines, and then it says pestilence. And I'm thinking COVID fits in that category of pestilence, don't you? Well, I believe it does. And anyway, and then it says, shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. If you do a Google search, Google, how many earthquakes has there been in the last 30 days? You'll be shocked. I did that, and here's what I found. That there were 10 earthquakes, 6.0 and greater. That there's 149 earthquakes between 5.0 and 6.0 in the world. There was 1,188 earthquakes between 4.0 and 5.0. There were 3,456 earthquakes between 3.0 and 4.0, and then I quit counting because that's a whole load of earthquakes. And it says very plainly that there will be earthquakes in diverse places. That's all over the world. And the Bible says that all these are the beginning of sorrows. Folks, I seen about a month ago that our beloved president, I say that word loosely, gave an executive order that he don't have any constitutional power to do. But anyway, what it was for was for the federal government to come up with guidelines for digital money. That happened on March 9th, 2022. He signed an executive order titled Ensuring Responsible Development of Digital Assets. The order directs a broader range of federal agencies to recommend legislative and regulatory proposals to the fostering and development of and address the risks presented by digital assets and central bank digital currency, and goes on. You know what that is? That's cashless society. Folks, it's not coming anymore. It's here. Amen. See, what do you think? I'm thinking I'm pretty excited. Hey, have you heard anything about digital passports? Yeah, and that's something. And you say, is that shot? Is that the mark of the beast? No, it's not. Wrong time frame. Is it the technology behind the mark? I'm convinced it is. The technology is here, folks. I'm not trying to scare. I'm just trying to warn you. See, I used to say we're living in the last days. His brother John said that in his gospel, so or his epistle. So I'm thinking, hey, I'm good with that. We're in the last days, amen. Well, then with all this going on, I started saying, hey, we're living in the last days of the last days, and I believe that to be true. And lately, I started saying, hey, we're living in the last hours of the last days. Well, I've changed that this past month to saying we are living in a transitional time. That's how close it is. Folks, the next prophetic event to happen is the rapture. Amen? And we know from the Scripture that the rapture happens before the tribulation. And that doctrine we talked about is called the imminent return of Christ. Imminent means two things. Thing one means it's going to happen. No doubt about it, He's coming back. Thing two means it could happen at any time. Amen? Oh, y'all notice the balloon. This balloon I'm using to illustrate the point of the imminent return of Christ. As in, this balloon's going to pop. And it could be at any minute. Amen? So I'm saying that this balloon's going to pop, and it could happen at any moment. Amen? That's where it is with Jesus' return, folks. We're seeing signs, but it's for the tribulational stage to be set. There aren't any signs before the rapture because it's the imminent return of Christ. Does this make sense? And the reason I'm taking a few extra moments here is the biggest thing. The last 6 years on the road, but I'm running into all kinds of crazy doctrine out there. You know, we just need to stick to the book. Amen? Like this balloon is going to pop. And it could pop at any minute. Woo-hoo-hoo. See? Now, why y'all jump? You knew it was going to pop. Hey, welcome back. If that was the rapture, boom, and the saints were gone. Would you have been left behind? Listen to me now. If you're not saved, you'd have been left behind. Yeah. And you ever seen the movie Left Behind? Okay? It might make good entertainment, but don't get your theology from movies. Because when it showed the black preacher in there, and he was bouncing the ball, saying, man, I preached it. I just didn't believe it. I was good. You know what I'm saying? And he throws it at the cross up there, and it knocks it over, and it shows him drop to his knees, and he's supposed to get saved. That's a lie. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that's impossible. Because those who reject the love, talking about the gospel, that God Himself will send a delusionment and you will believe a lie. So listen, folks, if you're here this morning and you're lost, and you're thinking, well, I get this thing about the rapture. I've heard about it ever since I was this guy's height, you know, his age. And it hadn't happened yet. But if it ever does, I'll notice millions of people missing. I'll wait and get saved then. No, you won't. Because if you know the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ today and reject it, God Himself will send you a delusionment. You cannot get saved. If that was the rapture and you were left behind, friend, this is your future. We haven't even got to hell yet. We're talking about if you happen to, I don't know if I should use the word lucky here, blessed, fortunate, I don't know what word to use right here, but I believe that chapter 9 is just right of the halfway point of the tribulation. I'm not going to argue with the church one month way to the other. Okay, we're not going to split the hairs there. But the way it reads, I'm believing it's probably just right of the halfway point. This is a scene, one of many, that will be your future if you're lost this morning and the rapture happens before I'm done. This is serious. Amen. Well, there's seven judgments. Yeah, the seven seal judgments. The seven trumpet judgments. That's where we're at. The fourth one sounded. The fifth one is sounding. That's where we tune in, just right of the halfway point. And then, of course, the seven bowl or vial judgments toward the end. So, let's go to chapter 9 to get the details here. The fifth angel sounds. And the fifth angel sounded. See, I told you he did right there. And I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came, And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Folks, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who holds the keys of the bottomless pit right now. So we can assume then, we can make an assumption that it is the Lord who gives this angel the keys to go to the bottomless pit and open that thing up. The angel with the keys given to him opens the bottomless pit, and then there rose a smoke out of the bottomless pit like a great furnace. In my mind, I kind of picture like a volcano erupting where it spews all that ash in the air and darkens the air around it. You can't see the sun because of the soot and stuff that's in the air. I picture that's what's happening in this area when this pit is open. The sun and the sky is darkened by it. And then these demonic creatures. And again, demons are not deity. It's just what we call them. These are created beings that have fallen. And they've been prepared, I believe, for this particular day. So these creatures that we call demonic creatures, they look like locusts and they emerge up out of that smoke. Then these demons, if you will, these demonic creatures, they receive their marching orders in verse number 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And the torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Wow. Verse 6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Notice that these locusts, these demonic creatures, were commanded. Who's commanding them? God is. God's still in control. Amen. He's the one that said what they can hurt and what they can't hurt. I love it that even in the midst of this, God is always in control. But they were only to hurt the lost men. They could not kill them. Their job was to torment them. part of the curse was that torment would last 5 months. It was like the torment of a sting of a scorpion. How many's ever been stung by a scorpion? They say it burns. And it burns bad. Okay? I don't know and I don't want to find out. But I remember we went down to get our missionary out of the language school there at BBTI in Texas. And we were helping them move out. And one of those critters ran across the floor. And he was about an inch long with his tail come up over top of his head like that. And I yielded the floor to him. Amen. One of the college students, a little crazy down there, went and got him a shovel and went up to that thing and stuck that shovel right on his head. Well, he didn't like that. His tail came up over across his back and hit that shovel, and you could hear the metal part or the hard part of that tail, whatever. Ding, 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 ding. I can't even go that fast with my tongue, but man, he was hammering that shovel. Ding, 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 ding. I was like, don't let him go. Amen. And he was only this big. Can you imagine these things the size of horses? See, an average size horse, if I'm standing flat footed like this and look straight at a horse, I'm usually seeing about the top part of his shoulder. And if I'm going to pet him, I usually have to raise my hand up a little bit to pet his back. That's a big animal. That's what these creatures are going to look like. Wow, folks. When that thing hits them, they can't die. They just suffer for 5 months. In fact, they're going to seek death. In other words, they're going to try suicide, and they're going to fail. Even if they stuck a shotgun in their mouth and pulled the trigger, it'd just go click. And if it did go bang, they just wind up in ICU for 5 months, but they still can't die. It's part of the curse. Yeah. So let's see what the description of these creatures are. Verse number 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. That's huge. Prepared into battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they have tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and they have power, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. These things are prepared for battle, folks. They're predators of the fierce kind. Their prey is the lost. That's their marching orders. They wear crowns like gold, I'm assuming protection for their head. But their faces is the face of man. Can you imagine a locust as big as a horse, but his face looked like a man? How horrifying would that be? And then he said they had hair like a woman. What's that mean? It means it's long. She had long hair. Face like a man. Teeth like a lion. Folks, have you ever seen a circus or ever gone where these guys don't have any brain cells and they like open their mind and stick his head in there? That's why I said he don't have any brain cells. A guy that can think wouldn't do that. You don't put your head in the mouth of a lion. Amen? But, well, those teeth are ferocious. That's what the Bible describes here. The breastplate of iron, I'm assuming, probably bulletproof. Their wings was the sound of thunder. Many horses pulling chariots. I think a horse is a beautiful animal. How many of you ever seen the old Western where like you have a herd of horses running? And if you happen to have surround sound, you can hear it just kind of like pawing the ground, and there's that kind of thunder sound to it. It's like, man, that's pretty cool. And then if they go to slow-mo and slow them down and kind of zoom in on the horses, and you just see the muscles in their chest just rippling, and they're just, I mean, that's a beautiful animal, is it not? Folks, that kind of sounds, the sound of these wings as they come in, their tails were like that of a scorpion. So rather than a locust having his long tail like he normally has, it comes up over the top of his head like a scorpion. And in that tail is a stinger. And they do have a king over them. It's obviously a devil or inspired of the devil. It's the angel of the bottomless pit, a Abaddon or a Apollyon. Both words mean destruction. This isn't going good. Wow. And after reading this futuristic account, church, here's the part I'm just blown away with. I would think in my thinking, had I been lost and not heard the gospel, and the rapture happens and I'm left behind, and one of these things are coming to chase me down, you know what my first instinct would be? Dear God, save me quick! He's getting closer! I mean, wouldn't you repent? God, I'm sorry for all my sins. All of them. I don't have time to name them all. He's closing in. So just forgive me, please. I need to get saved. What, y'all don't see the urgency there? The part that I'm just blown away with, folks. Jump to the end of the chapter. I call this the unbelievable results. Verse 20. Chapter 9, verse 20. Here we go. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet. So the folks that happened to live the first 3.5 years that made it through all the plagues that happened so far, those men were just over halfway, okay? So it says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. They repented not? Folks, wouldn't it make sense if something like that was coming in on you, or for you'd want to get saved? But said they wouldn't repent of the work of their hands. Hey, you can't work your way to heaven. You got to repent of that. Well, I'm a good person. Well, your good works aren't going to get you to heaven. Well, I'm just for grace, are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And talking about the worship of devils, friends, that's going on today. The cultic religions, the spiritism that's in our country already, we call it New Age, but it's been around since Babylon, friend. It's not new, it's just a different name. The worship of idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood. Do people worship material things in America? Oh, my soul. They might have eyes, but they can't see you. They might have ears, but they'll never hear one prayer you ever pray. They might have hands, but they're never going to help you. And they have feet, but if you want your God to go with you like this, you're going to pick him up, throw him back in the pickup truck, because he's not going otherwise. They're idols. We need to repent of the worship of these things. Folks, this is foolishness. Wow, and they repented not of their murders, and I think of the abortion today. Their sorceries, it comes from a word, pharmakia, dealing with witchcraft or drugs. Folks, that's the problems we're facing today. Their fornication, sexual sins. Does America have a problem with sexual sins? Good night. The sad part is, how much of that's in the church now? And their thefts? So I think, hey, wait a minute. What about today? God's given you and I a look into the future that's going to happen as sure as we're sitting here. No. We have a more sure word of prophecy, like Peter said. This is going to happen. And you repent not? Time out. When we started, you said, hey, if I know the future, I would have made a different choice today if I had known the future. And none of us have any Google glasses that can do that. But God's given us a that gives us a glimpse into the future. And now we do know that that future is going to happen. Would it not make sense that you and I would repent of these things today? And if you're here and you're lost, that you'd see the urgency of the hour? Friend, it's just around the corner. Behold, today is the day of salvation. I encourage you to get saved today. I don't care if you're 5, 15, 55, or 105. You need Jesus. You need to get born again now. Repent of your works and put your faith in Jesus. God help us. Oh, my soul. Oh, I close with an illustration. Remember back when I was in the youth work, Brother David's out in Central. This is back in the 80s. Okay, That's been a minute. But my job was youth director, etc. What that means is I did everything the pastor said. That included mowing the yard. And we had one of those silly ponds that the county made us put in when we built our building. So you see me mow along, and all of a sudden I disappear for a while, and you see me come up on the other side. It never did have water in it. It just was a hole in the ground. Okay? Waste of money. Anyway, one day I went down in there, and I started, what is that? And I started noticing these bees as big as my thumb. Well, folks, I'm allergic to those things. So I left the tractor running and everything. I bailed. And I started running fast. Now, let me change it. I was running faster than I could. You ever run faster than you can? Folks, that means you're going to fall. So, I'm watching them. There's like this swarm of them coming at me. Then they're like B-50s to bite off. I'm running, you know, to the church door. And I'm thinking, oh, no, that door is usually locked. Oh, God, let the day that door be unlocked. Amen. And I would trip. I'd tuck my shoulder and roll, and these things come after me on the ground. I didn't even miss a beat, man. I just rolled, got right back on my feet, and run faster than I could again. I mean, that happened about 3 times on the way to that building. Well, it's funny now. It wasn't funny then. But seriously, they were only about the size of my thumb. I can't imagine having one of these predators. I hear the thunder of his wings. I turn around to see him smile and bare his lion-like teeth out of the face of a man as his hair like a woman blows in the wind. You know how terrifying that'll be? I believe I read over Matthew where it says that men's hearts shall fail for the things that they see come upon the earth. I believe it's talking about this in Revelation 9. Folks, how frightful. Have you ever been so scared you can't run? So scared you can't scream? You're like, I've been that scared. I picture myself being that scared with one of those things. Worse than that, listen to me, listen close. What happens if that was my wife he was chasing? What happened if that was one of my girls? Daddy, Daddy, help me! I reach my back and pull out my .45 and put 13 in his chest, and I don't even slow him down. Daddy can't help this time. Folks, this is going to happen. God's Spirit has given us a glimpse of the future. Are you saved this morning? If not, I better get saved. Are there folks in your family that's lost? Remember, my third question was, what are you going to do about it? Remember, missions starts in our living room and across the street. I appreciate the men. We went soul winning yesterday, knocking doors, talking to bus people, and we got to share the gospel a couple times. Good job. But I'm thinking there's more than 6 men in the church. In other words, this is a job for everyone. And if you can't go because you're not 25 anymore, you don't work right, then you come and pray while the others go. Preacher's not going to get mad after you sit in the sanctuary here and get on the front row and bow your heads and y'all have a couple of rounds of prayer and beg God to lead the men closest to the one to hell and that Jesus would have some divine appointments and do even out on the street. I don't think he'd get mad at all about that. In fact, they come back rejoicing because I believe you see more souls saved than you are now. I'm not saying you're not seeing them saved now. I'm just saying I'm thinking we'd probably see more if everybody got involved like that. Yep. And then when it comes to missions, and pastors asking for you to pray and ask God what he'd have you to give to Faith Promise. And I know this is between you and him, and he's done an excellent job outlining it, and I agree with him. I say amen and amen. But if you've never started before, you can't do $5? Seriously? When something is this urgent? Or maybe you've already come in. Boy, this is the amount right here. This is what we're doing. Well, I'm glad. But now God's let you hear a piece of the future that if you can make a difference for, You don't think he can go ahead and bump it up another $5 before he puts the number in the plate here in a minute? I'm not after your money. I'm just showing you the urgency here. Hey, as an evangelist, that's all. We live by love gifts. But part of our love gift, we give back to missions. And we taught our children when they were, you know, just little fellas and gals. We only have one son and gals because we have three girls, okay? And they had a... We didn't like the allowance thing. We made them work, do their chores, and then they got paid because we don't want them to grow up thinking we're the government and handouts, okay? But anyway, out of that, they tithe from it. That might only have been a dime. But that dime belonged to Jesus. We teach them when they're small. And then when it comes to faith promise, they got involved too. Might have been a nickel. I think one time was 20 cents, two dimes. I think one time one of them doing a quarter. But they got used to every week out of what they got. They put aside what's God's, and then they put aside their faith promise to help the missionaries. So when you grow up doing that, now when you're older and you actually have an income, so what is it to spend $40-$50 a week on missions? Yeah, that's like $200 a month, but still at the same time. You see the urgency? I can't go to the Philippines. Of course, you'd probably let me come visit you when you get over there. But honestly, I'm not sure if I want to. And just like Brother Alex, you want me to come to Israel. And that'd be a cool place to visit, but I'm not sure I want to. You know where my field is? God's called me to the U.S. of A. Do we not need revival? See, you know, if I get some downtime, maybe we will show up over there. And then stop by Japan, see a missionary in Japan. I mean, I don't even know if that's even close on the globe. But anyway... Airplanes know how to get there. You know what I'm saying? So more than likely, I'm not going to be there is what I'm saying. But the plates are gone now. But I can get some to help him. You can get some to help your church missionaries, 30 of them. Thank God for that. And he said, in fact, the passage there in Corinthians 8, fellowship of the believers. They're like, count me in. I want in on this. But they're poor. And Paul's like, no. He said, no. And out of their deep poverty, they gave. How do they do that? They got involved themselves. And what they could do, they did do. And they're saying, in Tyrannese, look, Bubba, you're going to take our money because you're not going to rip us off of a reward. Okay, back to the Bible. You're going to take our gift. They're tenacious. They're not saying, no, we want involved. Amen? So I'm not trying to drag this out or beat a dead horse, but I'm serious when I'm just reading even through this and preparing. Folks, I have family. Honestly, I'm looking forward to Jesus coming back. I really am. You know, I can't even think or imagine how cool that will really be. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I believe it. And I know it, but I'm going to be like blown away when it happens. You know, just because this little brain, it can only hold, you know, this about that much. That's it, okay? But this downside, I can name names of our family members. It's going to be left behind. And you know the part that bothers me the worst? The names I would mention have heard the gospel and they've rejected it. They've sat in funerals of other of our family members and they've heard me preach the gospel. They've read it in our Christmas cards that we send. You know what that means? They'll be left behind and they're going to believe a lie. And that doesn't motivate you to want to get involved? And throwing another $5. I mean, good night trying to help another missionary somewhere else. These are souls. Yeah, they represent numbers. I'm not in the numbers game. That's a soul. That could be my cousin. That could be my aunt or uncle. That could be my nephews or nieces. God help us. Let's all stand. Are you saved this morning? If not, would you come and let us take the Bible and introduce you to Jesus? Do you have family members that are lost? I wasn't just trying to be cute with the questions to try to manipulate anything, but I'm very sincere. What are you going to do about it? If you don't do something, who will? If you don't do something soon, when? There isn't much time left. Father, move among us this morning. Oh God, I pray that for the number preacher mentioned about what he'd like to see, but I'm asking for above that. Oh Lord, there's a need, and this thy people here have a heart for it. I already know that. I've sensed it this week. Thank you for reminding us of these eternal truths. And Lord, if all else, we need to come pray for our lost loved ones this morning, that you'd send somebody. That you'd send us. Lord, you'd save them before it's too late. Lord, for the left behind have to face these kind of horrors and then wind up in hell. God, please, this is serious, Lord. Get a hold of us. Revive our Savior. Lord, do a work. Time's running out. God, it's short. You're coming back. We're looking forward to it. But we sure do want to take our family with us. We want to take our friends down at work or over at the schoolhouse. God, would you move among us this morning in Jesus' name?